and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're bouncing around a little bit, but I have a method to all this. You had to be here to know what I'm trying to do here. We're looking at James chapter 5 as an excursion from Revelation 18, which we'll come back to. So if you're totally confused, just turn to James 5. Everything will be okay. Since you got here, all of us as believers are qualified to use 1 John 1:9. Whatever failures, shortcomings, sins, rebound will put you back in fellowship. The idea is not to just keep falling back into the same old pattern, but nevertheless, you can be as in fellowship this evening as you're listening to this information as anyone else. Your only handicap as a believer is your lack of an overall spiritual frame of reference. That comes with spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is this reservoir of epinosis doctrine in the soul that enables you to understand things at a better level than, say, a believer who has had a short tenure with regard to the intake of sound doctrine. But you can't worry about that. Your concern is where you're at now. By being here and being in fellowship, you can kick yourself around the block about this and that. It's worthless. Get in fellowship. Focus on the information. We're here. We have this moment and opportunity in time to do something very special, and that is to take in a portion of the mind of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We as positive believers have chosen not to go on that path, but a way of life and truth and understanding towards the coming of Christ and the Bema Seat. May this Bible class and the things communicated keep stirring us up with regard to our time and place in history. In Christ's name, amen. James wrote this letter to a specific audience who had specific issues going on. One of the issues that they faced, and these believers were Jewish, and they lived in the state of Israel as it existed from the before the time of Christ up to 70 AD. And as believers, they had certain types of sufferings corporately, one of which was economic duress due to the fact, what? Due to the fact that they were under economic duress, and that economic duress was the result of a certain amount of abuse by their rich employers. And in this case, it was an agricultural society, and a lot of them were day workers. They depended on a certain salary, and these rich types were ripping them off. This is very evil for them to cut their wages and persecute them in that way. So James, they would understand the rich of their society abusing them. Come now, you rich. And then we get into weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Now, the rich of this time frame, the misery that I could see coming upon them historically was that they would be caught up in the fifth cycle of 70 AD. So that's what they would. But in this particular section, things are stated here. They cannot possibly refer to any kind of misery and judgment that would have fallen on anybody who was rich at any time in history until the modern era. Until the birth of the atomic age. Let's read on. Now, rich people hoard up wealth in the different forms it takes, from gold to all the other kinds of things that constitute physical, tangible wealth. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Now, in this regard, and historically, people who are very wealthy have a certain amount of knowledge as how to take care of expensive clothing and prevent it from being attacked by these insects. They store them. We all know that if you store certain types of garments in a cedar-lined closet, it will protect from the moths attacking them. But this is beyond just, you know, a garment that's got a few little divots in it because of moths. This is moth-eaten. So this, what I'm telling you here is that he's looking to the future with regard to a certain type of rich people who are going to experience the misery of having their garments destroyed. People cling to what they've got. And so, moth-eaten. And then it gets even, if you were looking at it apart from an explanation that would make sense, your gold and your silver have rusted. Number one, gold doesn't rust. Throw it in the bottom of the ocean, come back 1,000 years, and it's still going to be a shiny gold coin. Gold, of all the precious metals, is not subject even to tarnishing. That's the nature of gold. That's why it is so precious to people, for one reason. And silver doesn't rust technically. It will tarnish. Silverware, literally silverware. It will tarnish, and you store it in a certain way, in a certain bag, and it doesn't happen to it. And you got polish. But anyway, rust? Can you imagine reading this before this explanation that I'm giving you of nuclear contamination? To be exposed to nuclear radiation as a result of a nuclear war, and they're, all that they've trusted in, all they've accumulated, is before their very eyes being corrupted, and their rust, focusing on us, will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. In a nuclear attack, all this stuff is caught up into the air, and if it hits the human skin, it wrecks it. Wherever the environment a person might be in. It is in the last days that you've stored up your treasure. There are people on earth, in America and elsewhere, who are so unbelievably rich, and the wealth that they have accumulated in the places that they have put it. And currently, there is a trend, and has been a trend among the super rich, to build elaborate underground places, not just some little, tornado shelter, We're talking very elaborate underground cities. They think they're going to ride out doomsday and escape whatever's coming. They will not. God will go after them. And He will pop those places open like you will pop open an egg. God will get them. They're guilty not just of ignoring God and making wealth their trust. A lot of people are doing that. What's your trust? Your stimulus check? I don't know. What's your trust? My trust is in God. He is my banker. He will take care of me and provide and has in time. So all this stuff, what's going to happen, what could happen, and the economy, and on, all this stuff. You shouldn't have any worries. God has promised you and I, if we follow Him and put Him first and His Word, that's the big if, then He will take care of you through all of this. Even if in the midst of the people that you see around you are suffering, God will raise you up and take care of you. I'm not saying you won't go through a financial test, but He still will care for you and provide for you. He won't forsake you in this. He'll give you at least the basics. And you don't have to concern yourself with all the scary stuff that's out there and being pushed. Live one day at a time. Thank God for what you've got. Be generous with what you've got where you have opportunity, and you'll be fine. Behold, now here is the indictment against them. The pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, which has been withheld by you, cries out against you. People are suffering because you did not provide for them the salary or the pay that you said you would. You cheated them. These Christians, what recourse did they have? Go to court? No. Their recourse is God. So in the last days, what I get from it is that there are these rich people who live above all the rest of us, not just because of their finances, but they don't play by the same rules we have to play by. They don't have to worry about an income tax for them. They've got shelters they put all their money in, so they don't have to pay anything. And they run the monetary system, and they are the folks behind the Federal Reserve System, the stockholders, these people who have inflated our currency, devalued it. Why do we have inflation? I took an economics course because it was required in college, you know, some course in economics. They don't tell you this. I didn't remember them telling me this. That the reason a gallon of milk is whatever it is now versus what it was in 1980. Why? Because milk is scarce? No. It's because they've devalued the power of the dollar. You can't just print money, bills, right and left, and call it money. It just represents something. So inflation is their game. The bankers, the international bankers, the top ones. That whole Federal Reserve System that eventually took us off of a gold standard, which keeps everything kind of in its place. We don't have any bills that says that this $50 bill is redeemable in silver in the U.S. Treasury. I got a $2 bill that says I can take it there and they'll give me $2 in silver. John F. Kennedy floated that one out there. He floated it out there to compete with the Federal Reserve note. And it got him killed, among other things, assassinated by the deep state. Not by that crazy guy. He had no more to do with it than I did. The deep state killed him. They assassinated him. Because he was going to take us out of the Federal Reserve System, and because he was wanting to pull back from Vietnam, and he made some brilliant speeches against the deep state, or that didn't get aired too much, but you can see one once in a while. I go, oh my gosh. With all his faults, he was a womanizer. With all his faults, he had this straight. He broke from that type of mentality. And that got him and his brother assassinated. Others have been assassinated too, because they were not going to play this game, and they were going to go by the rules. They were going to go by the United States Constitution, which says the government is to regulate and coin the currency and keep tabs on it, not farm it out to these bankers to whom the government borrows money when it doesn't have to. The government has the authority to coin and print its own currency. It doesn't have to go and borrow from anybody. That should have been the way it stayed. But these people working behind the scenes, and there are the names. I got a book, The Creature of Jekyll Island, where they planned. Jekyll Island was an island off the coast of Georgia. And back in the day, all the elites went there. And they went there, and these different bankers, European and American, got together and cooked up this Federal Reserve System that we got in 1913. Promising that if you did it this way, we would never have booms and busts that we had before. They were the cause of them before. Then this came along and we had the Great Depression. It was manufactured. And all these ups and downs. And they're still doing it today. And people suffer. Because the price of a loaf of bread isn't constant. It has nothing to do with the abundance and the lack of bread. Scarcity. Yes, that drives prices up. But there is an abundance. Look at the price of an automobile today. Did it get all that much better? In some ways. So, people have suffered as a result of these overlords regarding the money power. They knew that once they got the money power, they could buy and sell politicians right and left and run this whole thing towards what they want is all of us to be peons under their system. So this cheating cries out against you. Hey, what's it cry out for? Justice. And what should the justice be? The temporal justice ought to be that they are knocked completely down and out of circulation. When Christ rules on the earth, we will not have funny money. It'll be an honest coin, whatever we name it. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, which means the Lord of the armies. He's keeping tabs on this. A lot of people have been and are unnecessarily hurt economically by their machinations. We have had congressmen who stood up and spoke out against this evil. But they came and went. They buy these politicians. They're in their pocket. Not all rich people, not all that ever got to the top were in favor of this. But the ones that were got the control. Do you know that our government has never audited the Federal Reserve System? And the Federal Reserve System is not a government agency. It's private bankers. Oh, they give their little report before Congress. Furthermore, it describes the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. But I'm talking about the really rich and famous. You have lived luxuriously on the earth. Yachts and mansions and Learjets and flitting all around and hotels and casinos, all that stuff. They've lived luxuriously on the earth. The best food, the best wine, the best whatever. And led a life of wanton pleasure. They don't play by the rules we have to play by. And what they do behind the scenes, wanton pleasure. And he compares them to animals. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. So the ancestors of those that come down to the rapture time, and when this country is destroyed and the great tribulation comes, God, among all these other categories he's going after, that are his enemies, he's going to get them. He's going to bring them down. All of them. We have these big names of these, some of these rich types in American history, like Rockefeller, Carnegie. When they gave us the Federal Reserve System, they put their money into these trusts, these tax shelters. You can't do one of those. And they got so many lawyers running around. I remember one of the Rockefellers, he paid a little tax one year. It was a joke. They gave us the federal income tax. Tax our labor. Not our goods, our labor. Should have never been done. Unconstitutional. But we've gone this far down the road. You have condemned, and this verse, every verse is like, what exactly is this? Now, like I said, imagine that you were a believer reading this before the nuclear age. What? You'd have to say, because you wouldn't identify, you're smart enough to know, one, gold doesn't rust. And then the gold's going to attack the rust of the gold's going to attack their flesh? It can't be they can't be them in hell. That makes zero sense. It's a temporal judgment that will befall the last group of these people. The heirs of those before that set this all up. And live this life above everybody else due to their misdeeds. It's a form of a criminal organization that's been given the sanction of law and here and there, okay. They're not. We should have a gold-backed, silver-backed monetary system. And then would have a truly strong dollar. But we've inflated the currency and they print money and print money. And who gives them the authority to print money? You don't have any authority. You'll go to jail. I always have to kind of smile. They'll say, oh, look, these are billionaires. And they'll give the names of different people in the country are billionaires. These people are trillionaires. They just don't get advertised. Money is no longer a big deal to them, acquiring money. What they want is to control the whole world in a world government. That's why these people are always the ones in the background pushing world government. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He, singular, does not resist you. Now, you notice two things here, at least. One, it's an individual who is a righteous person in God's eyes. And that requires beyond salvation. Adherence to truth in time. And then the second thing, he does not resist you. Meaning, he could have resisted you somehow, fought against you, but he gives himself over to this person. Now, we do not have a clue right now who this person is. He remains a mystery. They kill him. They don't kill him directly. The system they put in place kills him. And the people that administer it do him in. And he doesn't resist you. So all this has to come down to the very end of the age, and whether it's a tribulational saint or whether it is before that, I don't know. So they have killed an upstanding child of God. They kill him. Now, a lot of Christians have been killed and suffer under this system in the world. By the way, these rich are behind wars. They like wars. They don't fight them. This goes back to England. Financing the English throne so they could go fight Nathan Rothschild in England, head of the Bank of England. These are the money changers, and you know, on steroids, that are cheating people. I know of two presidents that fought against him. One of them was Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was against him. He fought him in his presidency and said, "By Almighty God, I am going to throw these thieves out." He understood it. They tried to kill him, but they didn't succeed. So they're behind all this kind of stuff that's going on, if you did the research. All right, verse 7. What's the application to believers living at any time in history? This is going to be a big test for us in this final year. You heard me right. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer, he uses analogies. James loves these analogies. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. A farmer goes out there, puts seed in the ground, and what can he do? He's dependent on the weather and other factors for these plants to grow up and mature. And all he can do is wait about it until it gets the early and the late rains. This is the culture. I'll use the term, Palestine. Palestine is a term describing the land, the Holy Land. It came into being by a Roman emperor. You know what it means? It means land of the Philistines. It's a derogatory one. It's trying to put down the Abrahamic covenant. But anyway, in Israel at this time, they depended on heavy spring rains. And then between the heavy spring rains and then the latter rains, down into summer, and that was an ideal year. Now between the two, the heavy rains, it didn't mean they didn't get any rain. It just meant that there was heavier rain in the beginning and at the end. What's that all about? It's about the difference between the doctrine that's taught in the apostolic era, early rains, the writers of the New Testament, and the latter rains. At the end, there will be those who will stand up and teach sound doctrine in the midst of all this. That's the latter rains. It doesn't have to do with the number of people that are interested in the plan of God. It just has to do with the fact somebody, somewhere, is communicating it. Like it ought to be. To positive volition. You came to the right place. Congratulations. So you too, you as well, be patient. Strengthen your hearts. How do you do that? Be in class, hear doctrine, associate with believers that are an encouragement to you, apply doctrine, for the coming of the Lord is near. And then he goes into personal exhortations about stop complaining against one another. You can nitpick all you want to about this person and that person. Get out of the complaining syndrome. We've had enough of that around here. So you yourself might not be judged. The judge, Christ, is standing right at the door of your life. Don't be complaining. And then he goes in here and gives an example of Job, who was definitely a righteous man and endured his testing. And that's an example. First, he gives the prophets. Being a prophet wasn't some glamorous role you were in back in the day. You were hated. You had to stand up before the people of Israel, in this case, and you have to tell them what they need to do or else. You were not liked. This wasn't a popular thing, generally speaking. They suffered. And so those who are ultimately blessed are those who endured to the end. And heard of the endurance of Job. We did the book of Job. And the outcome of his dealings with Job. That the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Job wasn't perfect through his whole test. He got snitty with God. Questioning God. But he rebounded it and got on the road. All right, back to Revelation. I went there, my primary reason was to show you evidence that the Bible anticipated the modern era, but what kind of language could it have used back then if you're going to talk about a nuclear bomb? What could you say? We know that in the last days there's nuclear weapons. We know this country is going to be destroyed in 1 hour of one day by a country who possesses nuclear weapons. Who's going to be the instrument of God to bring the wrath down on America for its sins through its history that we haven't turned from. All right? Now, the evidence that this entity in 18 called Babylon is the United States is the accumulation of all those chapters we looked at in Isaiah and Jeremiah. We looked at these chapters and everything points to the United States as the nation. Now, we didn't become a nation until 1776. That's down the road into the church age. But people should have been able to read this and realize that this is referring to somebody because the clues are all there. One of the big clue that differentiates America from the nations out there is we were built on immigration. However your ancestors got here, it was immigration. And all the countries that we look around you today, all the different races, all the different people, it's based on immigration. What other country can you say is based on that? None of them. And so we've had a history of immigration from all the nations. And that verse I showed you, the nations will no longer flow to her. That's immigration. Now they want to do it illegal immigration, just walk across the border. I mean, we had some sense back in the day. You want to come and be a citizen of the United States, you've got to pass a test. Read this stuff and we're going to ask you questions on it. You're going to be an American. We don't care if you're Polish. We don't care what you are. You got to answer these questions so you have a continuity of a nation. We don't care about your skin color. We don't care about any of these other factors. You need to be an American and based on your understanding of our freedoms and our way of life. Now it's just all out the window. We don't have a clue. So you can't have a house divided can't stand. You got people running, have all these different ideas about what it's supposed to be. That's what we should have had in school. Everyone should have had to memorize the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, with constant examples of what might be a violation of it. One nation under this law. So we turned on ourselves. That's what made us great. And freedom. To go out here, start a business, and prosper if you want to. Not constantly dependent on welfare. That ruins people's character. I'm not against it. You know, Social Security, yeah, you earned it. You get a penny for every dollar you put into it. Okay. So the announcement here in Revelation of the fall of Babylon, again, when this, and why would he call it Babylon? Well, you can't call it America. For one thing, America wasn't a term used at this time. And no one would have named their country America if they'd have read this. So we'll go with the Babylon Code thing. I am so impressed with one thing, and that is the amount of ink given to the subject of the United States and prophecy in both the Old and New Testaments. It's not just a passing remark. And the stuff is repeated over and over again. That this country will be destroyed by arrows. Nuclear arrows. See Doctrine of Arrows. In 1 hour of one day. What could take this country out in 1 hour, one day? An all-out blitz. Land, air, sea, thermonuclear weapons from Russia with love. 1 hour, one day. The good news for you and I, we won't be here. The rapture will have occurred. And then all these other people that are non-believers and are left behind will get evangelized and get a chance to get saved, because there's a worse thing to happen to you than be blown up in a nuclear war, and that's to go to hell. So they'll get the gospel, and then they'll be told, go back to the country whence your ancestors came from. Pick one. No, it won't be convenient. But see, it's always about doing the will of God, not your own personal comfort for the moment. Do what God wants you to do. And that will be, get out of here. The indictment is given with regard to her domestic evil in verse 2. Now this is what's going to happen, people. After we're out of here, an angel's going to come down from heaven and he's going to light up the entire world with his glory. What? Are there angels of that magnitude? Apparently so. And he makes an announcement. Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and despicable bird. That's humans. And this country's loaded with them. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. This is her economic internationalism. He uses the sexual thing to illustrate this, the illicit thing. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. Alliances. Various things with rulers around the world, in the political realm. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. She is portrayed as this sensual female. And the wealth of her sensuality, American productivity. I heard another voice coming out of him, come out for her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. He's kept a log on it all. Now, pay her back even as she is paid, and give her back to her double according to her deeds. America, who's had so many privileges, religious freedom, all these things, and we've abused our freedoms. So we're going to get double discipline. Double discipline, which means nuclear annihilation in one day. And, oh, by the way, another thing, you can't say this is anything in the past. What country, place was ever overthrown by some catastrophe like even Sodom, Gomorrah, that people weren't allowed to go back into that territory if they wanted to? You can't find a spot on earth that's banned from human occupation. But this will be. From the Pacific coast to the Atlantic coast, this country will be off limits to humans. It will be left to overgrow with plants, and animals will flourish. And in all the ruins of all our palaces and homes and all of it, animals will make their homes. Not one human will be allowed to come in here at when Christ comes to earth, will be allowed to come in here and look around for some buried treasure. Or just for the heck of it. Adventurers. Explorers. So that's the double indictment. We get destroyed. Nations, places have been destroyed and have had, with other people coming in, a comeback. Look at Israel. In the cup which she has mixed, American propaganda and all ideology spread all over the place, mixed twice as much for her. To the degree she has glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I will never see mourning. We're indestructible. We're indispensable. No, we're not. We just think we are. For this reason, in one day, so we have one day, her plagues will come. Pestilence, that's a sickness. Your whole immune system's all screwed up. Those that survive the attack will breathe in this air. Mourning, loss of loved ones, kids, all of it. And famine, you can't keep food down if you're exposed to this. And she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord who judges her is strong. The kings of the earth, back to that theme, who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her, will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance. Why don't they want to get close? Because the whole place is radioactive. You don't think these weapons exist currently? It's in the Russian arsenal. Yeah. It's in their subs, it's in their bombers, and in their intercontinental ballistic missiles. And they will come all in one day under the command of God, not because they're going to follow God, it's they're going to do it because God uses them to effect His wrath. And of all the nations that He would use to do that, He uses Russia. Russia stood by us in the Civil War. We didn't have hardly any navy. And the Tsar blocked the Europeans from just coming in here and doing what they wanted to do. But we overthrew, or we were responsible behind the scenes. We overthrew the Tsar, murdered his family, and the Bolsheviks took control of Russia and killed millions of Russians, and we continued to do business with them. See, that is an unrighteous relationship. Any country that is putting their citizens in concentration camps and liquidating them, we shouldn't have anything to do with them if we were righteous. You heard of Lend-Lease and all that business? They killed way more people than the Nazis did. When they see the smoke of her burning, stand in a distance because of the fear of her torment. That fits nuclear, doesn't it? Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. People will get up one morning. It'll happen. Well, it depends on where they're at in the United States. They've got all the cities targeted. They'll take out a city like New York like that. You drop one of those nuclear in there and it's gone. Pulverized. For in 1 hour your judgment has come. And then we have a reaction off of that. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her. They don't have anywhere. All this stuff you buy in these stores today, made in, made in, made in. Made in Italy, made in here. Well, we'll get a representative list here. No one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, and every kind of citron wood, and every article of ivory, and every article made from very costly wood, and bronze, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and spice, and incense, and perfume, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and cargoes of horses, and chariots. That's automobiles in the last days. Automobiles from South Korea, Japan, Germany, Italy, England. And a lot of our cars are made offshore. And slaves and human lives. There's some real shady stuff going on too. There is an international crime wave of stealing and abusing children sexually by the elite. You bet. That's why so many kids are disappearing. The fruit you long for has gone from you. No more going to Wally World. Let's go to Walmart. Not by any means my favorite place. And all things that were luxurious and splendid have been passed from you. The party's over. You can't go to the mall and go to the high-end store now. It's gone. It's ripped away from you. And that nice restaurant on the corner is gone. And all the rest of it will be shut down. The rich and famous won't have a snowball's chance in hell. Their mansions won't do them any good. All of it. That quick. And the merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance, repeated, because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste." This is a worldwide entity. This, who else could this possibly be? It isn't Spain. It isn't Great Britain. And they were a great empire at one time. 1 hour. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like the great city?" It's gone. Their business has collapsed. Nowhere to send their clothes, nowhere to send their wine, nowhere to send it. And they threw dust on their heads and were crying, weeping, and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste." How many times do we have to say "for in 1 hour"? Nations don't fall in 1 hour. And we're talking about a 24-hour day, an hour in a day. What's going to be the reaction for you and I and everybody that's in heaven, because we've been in heaven because this occurs? "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her." So in heaven, we will be celebrating the destruction of the United States. And then in conclusion, then an angel took up a stone like a great millstone. Now, millstones were round, and they were of different sizes, designed to be pulled by an animal and grind grain in antiquity. They may still use them somewhere in the world, I don't know. But it's like a great millstone. And he pitches it into the sea. I have my candidate for this. The Statue of Liberty. It's not a millstone, but what it sits on is like a great millstone. It's circular. It's very heavy. Nothing is mentioned of the statue it sits on. And that statue, of all the statues in America, most epitomizes American immigration on Ellis Island. You see it all on TV all the time. They'll show a little picture of a Statue of Liberty. The statue isn't even mentioned. It's actually Masonic, but okay. The symbolism of Lady Liberty. He will pick this thing up and he'll throw it in a deep spot in the Atlantic Ocean, I presume. As an illustration. And threw it into the ocean saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer." Now that'll be a psychological slap in the face. See an angel come down and pick up our Statue of Liberty with its base and flip it out into the ocean. Just to throw a big rock out there wouldn't mean a heck of a lot. You've got to have something with some symbolism in it. Ironic, maybe, with the crazies out there trying to destroy monuments. And get this. And the sound of harpists, that's a stringed instrument, and musicians, singers and so forth, and flute players, and trumpeters, different types of wind instruments, will not be hurting you any longer. No jazz. No rock and roll. No, you know, any kind. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill, factory, will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of the lamp, electricity, in your house, lights the ceiling up here, will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride, wedding ceremonies, it's a big business in America. Weddings, the voice of the bride and the bridegroom, will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May we take this very seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.